Honor all beings. I really appreciate Jane framing for us how difficult that is because, wow, you know, we don't ask much of ourselves, do we? That we close our services every week with these high ideals, these 10 statements, reminders to ourselves, everyone is difficult, and I don't know if any is more difficult than this one. Honor. Not just give grudging respect or noticing, but honoring. And then all beings, everything that lives. That's hard enough just to honor myself and the people in my family. In fact, when I'm reflecting, when we have that period of recommitment, I'm often thinking about ways that I drop the ball on just that. I was chatting with a friend about this high goal, and she said it reminded her of something that they say in synagogue every week. I think it was obligations, not commandments. It's a different thing. I was thinking for a moment that she was saying like the 10 suggestions, and it sounded like a you joke, but but no, they're sort of the social obligations, things that we seek to do. She says that they say every week in her shul, and one of them is honor your parents, for example, and another is to celebrate with a marrying couple. And she said one of the things about them is they're all potentially infinite. There's no end to how much one could honor one's parents properly. There's no end to how much one should celebrate the joy of one's somebody in one's community. So she said each person has to decide, how much can I do this? I want to honor this obligation. I want to do these things. I want to honor my parents. I want to celebrate with the couple that is marrying. How much can I do of this potentially infinite obligation? And this is like that. Honor all beings, it's so huge. Let us do the peace that we can do. What does honor mean in that context? Well, talking about the Jewish setting and hearing the honor your parents, that is in the Ten Commandments. The word for honor is kavod, which has a dual meaning. A complex meaning of kind of related things. One side of honor is glory, splendor. And I think of that in the sort of sense of, you give somebody a great award, right? You honor them. You're recognizing their glory in some way, their reputation. And then the other sense of kavod is weight like heft. Kavod implies substance, to the point of a burden one carries. To have honor is to be heavy, to occupy space, to be firm. In other words, to have dignity. And when we honor things, we recognize you have heft. You take up space. You are worth carrying. And you are shining in splendor. Kimmerer is one of my favorite guides to how to relate to other beings, human and otherwise. And these two stories tell us so much about how we might honor the beings that share this world, starting right there in our own homes and moving far beyond. That first story is a morality tale, of course. Personified, the corn spirit withdraws her favors. But what a person, a personified spirit, does deliberately, nature just does as a matter of course. The corn is not spiting anybody when it doesn't grow very well the next year. If they didn't weed and plant and plow and nurture the soil, that's just what happens. And so the story is told to remind people, the corn isn't out to get you, but it needs you. It needs your honor if it's to honor you with this gift of wonderful food. And then the story of the Reising family. He was well-intentioned, of course, the visiting friend. He wanted them to be efficient, but they pointed him to a different kind of efficiency that he wasn't aware of because he didn't yet know the whole system. That generations of people ricing in the lakes of Minnesota had learned and passed on. That there is more than just this family or this community and this year. There's the future. How are we going to provide for next year's harvest? By letting some of the seed drop down again to the bottom of the lake. How are we going to provide for the ducks that we also want to come? They didn't say, maybe they also eat some of the ducks. In any case, they want this the ecology of the space to be protected, and so they need to think about the ducks. It's really not efficient to take too much more. When I wake in the night sweating about climate change and I worry, how will we ever learn to tend this planet? The thing that I take the most hope from is the fact that human beings know these technologies and have been teaching them for a very long time. And that it's actually a pretty brief and geographically limited piece of humanity that went astray and forgot that you actually have to provide for the ducks and for next year's harvest. We don't have to invent it. We just have to listen. What Kimmerer calls all this, and which I completely forgot until I went looking for a reading for this week's service, this is called the honorable harvest. That's what the people who tell these stories call it. The sense of a harvest, a sense of taking from the land what you need, that goes even beyond sustainability. It's about respect. It's about knowing the connections among all these things, far beyond what you might be able to see, like the ducks that are right now not even on the water, but will come back. Thinking ahead to many years, many generations, even forward. That is to honor not only the harvest, but everything that is connected. And it's the way to honor ourselves. I think it's a spiritual practice. You know, we really do have the suggestions more than the rules. And the words that we say to ourselves at the end of the service are suggestions, they're reminders. How do I want to live? Okay, I want to live in a way that honors all beings. How do I do that? Well, it's a practice. How do we do that? How do we practice treating each being as worthy? Again, we're talking about every living thing on Earth, right? We don't even know many, many of the species, much less have a connection, a known connection to each individual animal, plant, fungus, bacterium out there. How do we act in ourselves that honors all these other living beings? I think the first way is by respecting ourselves. And I realized that's going to take a whole other sermon or five. But we're practicing it a little bit today, right? By celebrating. We're taking care of a community that matters to us. And we're saying, well done. We celebrate. We have a special lunch together and we have time together. This is why harvest spring parties. You don't just say, oh, thank God, the corn is in the granary. All the pledges are in. Time to just, you know, rest up, sharpen the tools for next year. You have a party. that's part of how we respect ourselves and say, hey, we're helping make something important happen. And the second way, and where I want to spend the rest of my minutes here, is by acknowledging the inherent worth and dignity of other living beings. Just literally by noticing and saying out loud to ourselves and to them, I see this. I see this in you. It's interesting to me, we proposed that eighth principle, which would have messed up the symmetry I'm talking about right now, but I'm glad the principles of it got into our shared values. But the seven principles that have guided Unitarian Universalists for a couple of generations now begin and end with ones that are very closely, not only parallel, they might sound opposite, but I think that they are parallel and, in fact, versions of the same thing. The first is we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. I'm going to read that as being. And then the last is, the seventh, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. They're the same thing. Recognizing that everything has inherent worth and dignity means that we respect it all. And that's how we respect ourselves, because we know we're not separable from the web. So how do we go about that on a daily basis? How can this be a practice? Here's one that comes up as a challenge frequently if you're just, strolling along a city street. You might encounter someone who's so desperately poor that they're asking strangers for a dollar. Anything helps. Their sign says something like that. Every little bit. I went by somebody the other day who said, couple quarters? A couple quarters don't go very far. But he needed them. The need is bottomless. Which is why sometimes it's tempting to just walk past. Now, of course, there are lots of ways to help. You can say, actually, I'm not going to give this man a couple quarters, but I'm going to support Heart and Home here. I'm going to support the building of affordable housing when I go talk to my members of Congress or my local legislators. I'm going to cook for the folks who come here for a shelter, etc. There's lots of ways to honor people besides giving to every person who asks. But they are a reminder. I do want to honor everybody in my community. And I think that one thing we can do, our practice, when we are asked for something that at that moment we do not feel we can or should give, that we look them in the eye. We say, sorry, not today. Instead of acting as if they're invisible and inaudible. That takes us beyond mainly merely the question of sustainability, right? What can I actually give? But into that deeper question, like the Rising family asks, like the corn growing communities ask, about reciprocity and interdependence. It's not punitive, it's just, if you want to receive, then you must give. And if you give, you will receive. To treat other living things honorably is to meet them with gratitude and respect their dignity. So this matter of meeting someone's eyes, that's how we do it with other humans. It may look different as we walk through a park, as we read the news. How do we meet other beings with gratitude and recognize their heft? There are so many small practices that can remind us that they matter. That in the words of the hymn we sang, all creatures, this is one of the things I really like about that hymn, all created in your image. Genesis says that human beings were created in God's image, and the writer of the hymn says, all living things were created in God's image. Imagine a God that's part moss, that's Kimmerer's area of expertise, part charming things like dolphins, part less charming things like pond scum. Pond scum is just a mean name for algae, really. God, all of those things, it's a lovely thought. Because they all matter. We know this. We're environmentalists. We believe in the web and the fact that we don't even know all the ways that we're interconnected. And so we respect it all. Isn't that the plea of the simple slogan, Black Lives Matter? We are here. We have heft and dignity. Don't ignore us. Not asking for anything other than recognition that it matters whether this person lives or dies. Echoing the placards of the sanitation workers' strike decades earlier, a collection of black men asking for their rights, the sign said, I am a man. It's heartbreakingly modest. Just recognize, I'm a person facing you here. Dignity is modest. It really is. As Jane said, to love one another, which we strive to do as well. We talked about that last week. That's one kind of challenge. To honor all beings is in one way simpler. It isn't to hang a medal around their necks or give them an Academy Award. It's just to say, you matter. I recognize that you matter. Regardless of whether I like you, want to have you running around my pantry, even know you exist. We don't have a practice of saying grace before our meals, even though we eat a lot together here. And there's some logistical reasons behind that. We eat buffet style. There's no one moment when we're all sitting with our food before us, not yet eating. But here we are right now, before we have our meal. So I want to close this sermon by doing that right now. This is another spiritual practice, to give thanks. And food is a wonderful place to do that because, well, it connects us to everything. So I want to give thanks for the food and then, minister style, give a commentary on what I have just said. Thank you. Thank you for what we are about to receive. Thank you to the living beings that have given their lives so that we may sustain ours. The salmon, the cucumbers, the garbanzo beans, the wheat. All of them. Thank you, those who brought it to our table. Those who lean over to pick the onions covered in the dust of the ground over and over all day and then do it again the next day and the next. Thank you. Thank you to those who loaded the trucks and drove them long, weary miles. Thank you to those who prepared the food, members of our community right here, who with laughter and attention, in other words, with love and honor, made the food ready for us to enjoy. Thank you to all whose lives have gone into what we are about to receive. May we honor them by using our energy worthily, by eating with appreciation. Let us honor those with whom we are gathered. Pay attention to them as well as every bite. The saying of grace, in other words, is a way not to take things for granted, but to accept them and know them as gifts. Those are quite different. In a simple calculation of receivables and payables, they're the same thing. Something that comes in, something that goes out. However it comes in, whether you bought it or were given it or stole it, it's the same thing. Lettuce is lettuce. We eat it. It sustains our bodies. No matter how it came to us or what we do with the little bit of energy and a lot of vitamins that we might get from it. That's a way to take it for granted. But lettuce as a gift connects us to, well, John Muir said, when we tug at a single thing in nature, we find that it's attached to the rest of the world. Once you start to give thanks to your lettuce, you'll discover just how much we are connected to everything, in fact. The fact that everything has heft, that everything matters, everything has dignity and worth, all beings. That connects us, that reminds us to be connected by it to the entire universe. Which is to say that when we honor those we encounter, these other beings, we become immeasurably greater. We honor ourselves by recognizing we are part of this marvelous shining web, aware that we are the universe, as are they. So bon appetit, buen provecho. Let us enjoy our meal together and honor ourselves, those with whom we gather, and the whole wide world of beings that converges here in this sacred place.